First step to missions is that you have a global heart. The rest works itself out.
Welcome to Air Jaren. This broadcast is produced by Global Radio Ministries and Jaren Ministries International. The teaching series we are in is the New Testament book of Colossians.
Today's message is titled, The Life-Changing Impact of the Gospel, Part 2, Continued. Our passage today is Colossians 1, 7-8.
Isaiah 6, verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am. Send me.
Have you ever wondered why God chooses to use people to spread His gospel message? Imperfect individuals, like you and me? It has been said that the church is God's plan A, and there is no plan B. In last week's program, Dr. Cece examined the nature, breadth, and effect of the gospel in Colossians 1 5-6. That it is the only word of truth, growing throughout the entire world, and changing hearts and lives. We resume Dr. Cece's message as he discusses the messengers of the gospel.
And that's what's so miraculous about what Paul says in chapter 1, verse 7 through 8, as he talks about the messengers of the gospel. He says, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who was the faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. And so here's Saul of Tarsus, who is led to the Lord through a dramatic personal encounter with Christ. Then he is involved with encouraging Epaphras, who he calls a fellow bondservant and faithful servant of Christ. And we're going to talk more about him when we get to chapter 4. But faithful Epaphras, in turn, preaches the gospel to the people in his hometown of Colossae. And the Colossians respond, and the church is started, and then Epaphras travels 1,200 miles to Rome to inform the Apostle Paul about the challenges they were facing the church and about their love in the Spirit. And Paul is amazed because he knows that love is attractive. By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have what? Love for one another, right? John 13, 35. And so he knows that. So he starts telling people, passing the baton and telling people about the love of the Colossians as the example that it is a fruit-bearing gospel. They were fighting with one another, now they love one another. Then the Colossians do what? Paul writes them a letter to encourage them, and so forth, and the other churches in the area. And then the Colossians, then they're passing the news to the guys in Hierapolis and the guys in Laodicea. The Laodiceans, and they're passing it also back and forth, city to city, continent to continent, generation after generation. If they'd have kept it to themselves, you and I wouldn't be where we're at. We're the product of a worldwide spreading of the good news. And it amazes me that God could have chosen other ways to spread the news about faith in Christ. He could have done it himself, right? He could have done it through visions and miracles, direct messages from heaven. Isn't that what he did with the Apostle Paul? Paul didn't have anybody say, Paul, let me give you the gospel here. Straight out of heaven. Now, Paul could have said, you know, that's how I got mine. That's how you're going to have to get yours. You're all going to have to wait for God to speak to you directly out of heaven. But no, that's not what he did. That's not what he did. God could have also used angelic messengers, could he not? Like he did with Gideon and Elijah and even Mary of Nazareth. And I've often thought about that because how efficient would it be if God sent angels as missionaries? They don't need food. They don't need housing. They don't need to raise financial support. They don't need passports or visas. They can fly anywhere without delay. And they don't get dysentery, you know, that dreaded traveler's diarrhea. Am I okay to say that over a pulpit, or is that? Because if you've ever traveled, you know what it's like. But for some reason, his primary tool for the spreading of the Word of God has been people. People messengers. People like you, people like me. In fact, remember what happened with Isaiah? He sees the Lord high and lifted up, right? And he says, Kadosh, 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 holy, holy, holy. Then he says, Oy vey, woe is me, I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among the people of unclean lips. But then he turns around and says in chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? This is God speaking. Say, wait a minute, God, can't you go for yourself? And then Isaiah says, Here am I, send me. And God didn't say, What do you mean, who do you think you are, Isaiah? What do you mean, here am I? I don't need you. But that's not what it says. God said, go and tell these people. And 700 years later, the Apostle Paul, acknowledging that God was still using people to spread the message of the word, says this. Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Even Jesus said these words, John 14:12, Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, the works of what? Spreading the news of the gospel, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, greater in extent, because I go to the Father. What's he saying? Jesus is saying, I have to leave so that you have a Holy Spirit that I can send, and he's going to live inside of you, and he's going to tell you to go to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. They will go. They will go to places where Jesus didn't go. That's the greater works, to the uttermost parts of the world. See, understand that Jesus only stayed locally. I know what our Mormon friends say, but there's no biblical or even historic evidence for that. That Jesus came to the Americas. He stayed within 200 miles. The Son of Glory leaves heaven to present the way to the Father and stays within a 200-mile radius. Why? Because he passed the baton, the gospel, the news of the gospel to you and to me, to people. That's what he said to his disciples in Matthew 28, just before he ascended into heaven, verse 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Look, I'm with you, but I'm not going to do it for you. Wow. We are God's people. People to whom I've given the gospel with the and a special calling, a global challenge to make disciples of all the nations. And yet here we are. We have airplanes. I can get to South Africa and trip in about 40 some odd hours. And that seems grueling. But that's a long way away. I can go to Russia in 30 hours. I can go to the Philippines in about 20 hours.
Hours.
Yesterday or the other day, I was praying with a pastor in Manila. Earlier, talking to somebody in Europe. What an amazing world. In the midst of all of this technology, all of this ability, the gospel is still not spreading enough. And it's not just a problem out there. It's a problem in here, as global as we are as a church. Dr. Grant Howard, in his booklet, What on Earth is the Church Supposed to Be Doing?, admitted the problem in his own church. He said this. He said, as we very honestly evaluated ourselves and our people, we realized that we were ambassadors who wanted to stay home, ambassadors who wanted to set up offices in our own country and have the foreign people come to us. Now, folks, they have come to us. Right next door, down the block, two blocks from here, hundreds and hundreds of foreign students, right? Hundreds. And in that sense, they have. Listen to what he said. We saw that we were very much like a football team in terms of having two responsibilities. A time for the huddle, that's for edification. A time to run the play on the line of scrimmage, that's evangelism. The right job of the church scattered is evangelism. That's our external purpose, spiritual birth. Yet we were a group of believers who huddled, called fantastic plays, and then went to the sidelines. We wondered why we never made any gains. More often than not, it was the quarterback, you know, the pastor, calling the plays, centering the ball to himself, going back for the pass and throwing it and running and catching it and doing his own blocking. And the rest of the team was on the sidelines rooting for him. And when they saw that he couldn't possibly do it alone, they hired another staff member. Anything to keep from playing the game. We love that holy huddle. We stay away from that line of scrimmage. You know that's true. You watched the game last week, sitting there eating corn chips. Right? Millions and millions and millions of people badly in need of exercise, watching a few guys on a field who are badly in need of rest. And that's what we do with missions. Go! You do it. I'll throw you some dollars. But I'm going to stay eating my corn chips. And I praise God for the Christians that didn't do that, that preceded us, who were not ashamed of the gospel, who were willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. Here's the problem. They're no longer with us. They passed the ball to us. What are we going to do with it? For God so loved the world. Is he talking about all the countries, all the geopolitical boundaries that are represented? Because they keep changing. We have a new country of South Sudan, which you may or may not hear about next week. Is that what we're talking about? Flags and military and gross national products, is that what we're talking about? For God so loved the people. How many? Something happened in the world on October the 31st, 2011. Anybody know? According to the United Nations estimates, the world population reached 7 billion people. Admittedly, the U.S. Census Bureau says, no, we're going to reach it in March. A couple of weeks from now. I did some research and I was shocked. Let me talk about the growth of the world's population from the time of Christ. It is estimated that during the time of Christ, there were only 200 million people on the planet. And I checked it out from three sources. I thought, no, come on. China, North America, Asia. It was only until 1400 AD that we reached, doubled it to 400 million. But in 400 years, it went from 400 million to where in 1800 it was 1 billion. In 1930, it reached 2 billion. In 1960, 3 billion. In 1975, 4 billion. In 1990, 5 billion. In 2000, 6 billion. Now we're at 7 billion in 2012. By 2025, experts say we'll be at 8 billion. In 2045, 9 billion. 2085, we'll be at 10 billion. And you can debate those figures if you want. All I'm saying is this, that the opportunity for reaching people with the gospel has never been greater. Amen? Reaching people. I don't know if there'll be fewer countries or more countries. I don't know. In 30, 40 years. All I know is that missionaries are dying off and we're not replacing them. That I do know. And that short-term missions has replaced long-term commitments. And I'm all for short-term ministry, but we've got to have some long-term people that live among the people, that learn the language and the culture. But God is opening doors of opportunity in North America and places like Canada and Mexico and Central America and the Caribbean and even here in the U.S. We're not going to ignore the local in South America and places like Brazil and Argentina and Colombia, in Asia like Japan and Philippines and scores of other countries, in Africa like South Africa and Kenya and so forth, and in Europe like Eastern Europe and even in the UK and so forth like that. And we're checking out to see what needs there are in Antarctica. And I have a list of people that I'd like to send there. No, See, it's right to speak of the impact of the gospel on Paul. And it is equally as essential to speak of the impact of the gospel on the not-so-familiar people like the Colossians. And it's even profound to talk about the influence of the gospel on the ancient world in the first century. Or even in the second, third, fourth, fifth centuries. But we're in the 21st century. We live in a world today. So here's my challenge. First, my challenge is that you need to come back next week. See, the truth is that some of you, when you hear we're going to have a missionary, you don't come. And I say in love, why not? Well, I just want to be in the Word. We have a sad, sad situation if we're people of the book and not people of mission. Because it is the word of truth that is spread to the world. And you need to know that this book applies around the world. And you need to see what God is doing. And the sacrifice. And you're going to hear some stories that are going to make you weep. That you've never heard before. And you will not. From a person who is living inside of it. A person who is there. Who is invited by these groups to come to give them training. And in order to even get there, he has to go to three countries circuitously in order to be able to come in and do this. I want to tell you something. You will see how amazing it is to watch people, grassroots, with nothing, with barely owned Bibles, reach out, not just to their local environment, but to the entire world. The second thing I need you to do is to pray through Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. On our last couple of meetings, the elders and I have been talking about praying through Scripture. Of not just studying Colossians, but praying through Colossians on our own behalf and on your behalf. So I'm going to ask you to pray through Colossians 1, verses 1 to 8. Or I've just been wasting my time telling you all these nuances. And that my great fear about expositional teaching is that you'll have more Greek verbs and Hebrew nouns and you'll have great outlines and you'll have all this stuff and you'll just fill your minds with knowledge. And you're no different than those in the Colossian church who were filled with knowledge from various different teachers and not doing a thing about it. I don't want that to happen. You need to pray through. And to pray this week that one who impacted Paul and the Colossians and the world will impact you in some way. Put up that picture, Mike, if you would. Do you have it there? I was thinking about this picture this week. For those that are listening and not doing any video here, it's a picture of an asteroid or something just landing on the earth with this major explosion and seen from space. Let that reflect your life. Doesn't matter how big the explosion is, does it? Does it? I can't even imagine who it was that led the person 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 to the Lord that eventually passed the baton to me. Unnamed people. The people that preceded you, that sacrificed greatly, so that somebody, whether through a book or through some sermon or through some crusade or through some camp or through some means, you heard the gospel in your own language in a way that you understood because of God's Spirit, and somebody paid a price besides Jesus. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick a continent. Just pick a continent. Say, well, that seems awfully strange. No, I just want you to pick a continent. Pray this week. Pray that God would intervene for a continent. And then I want you to pray for your nation. Not just for a person who would come on the political scene to answer all of your financial concerns and your political or social concerns, but that God would open up the door of the gospel in this place we call home. And then pray for your state and God's people in this state. And then take some time to pray for this county and for the people of God in this county. And then if you want, Google it if you want, just focus and just start going from the planet down and go to your neighborhood. We're blessed to watch God just opening up hearts in our neighborhood, but you've got to be intentional. You've got to open up your life. You got to fix some sprinklers for them. You got to pull some weeds. You know, you've got to hurt when they hurt. You've got to be with them. And you have to not overreact to the decisions that they make that are so poor. Your neighborhood. Then pray for your home and all that it represents. Your family. A.B. Simpson is known for that great story when his staff came in. He was the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and they walked into his office. And he had his arms around the globe. And he was weeping. It's the last time you wept over a lost world. Only God can open up our heart to that. And in the coming weeks, we're going to give you more opportunities to pray. Now you notice that I didn't ask any of you to sign up for becoming a missionary. I'm not going to. Didn't ask any of you to take a missions class. Not going to. First step to missions is that you have a global heart. The rest works itself out. Because it doesn't matter whether you go here or here or here. How silly it would be from a human perspective, but how divine it would be from God's perspective to have somebody in New Zealand listening to this message believe that God's calling them to come to Fresno to minister to your family. That's just the way God loves to work. Because this is their outermost part of the world. This is your Jerusalem. And God puts it all together. Amen? You guys hear my heart? Because here's my passion. We're going to pray. We're going to sing. And when we open that door, I want you to say to yourself, I'm now entering the mission field. And you go. You go where God wants you to go. But you go with hearts of understanding. That what happened to Paul, what happened to the Colossians, what happened to his world, and what's happening to our world can happen to you today if you want. God's people said. Father, that's our prayer today. Simple message. Nothing deep, nothing profound, nothing new. The same gospel imperative. Expressed perhaps on a different day, in a different way. But we trust, lead by your Spirit. In Jesus' name.
I am now entering the mission field. A timely reminder from Dr. Cece today, that all of us are called to be messengers of the gospel. To be ambassadors for Christ. To make disciples of all nations. Opportunities for the gospel have never been greater. Yet how easy it is to stay where we are comfortable, to hope someone else will do the work of missions.
But as Dr. Cece pointed out today, the first step to missions is to have a global heart. Take time this week to pray for the lost beginning with your family and friends, then your city, your region, your country, and the world. And may we continue in prayer, as this song by Casting Crowns says, until the whole world hears.
This program is presented by Dr. Jim Cece. Thank you for listening. May God richly bless you as you study His Word.